Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
The enemy will catch you following your feelings, and he'll start feeding your feelings to lead you down that path as a believer. So here, as you go in, this is one of those foundational, let me double check, to look at the integrity of the Word of God. One of the points is the devil knows that most people don't know the difference between spiritual and natural truths. Yeah. The difference between spiritual and natural truths. So, and because of that, he's taking people at a certain stage and calls them to challenge everything. Okay, I'll give you an example. You know, the Bible says that, you know, and you're saved, that, you know, there's no sin, you don't sin, you know, you have no sin. That's a spiritual truth. Because if you're saved, you done sinned since you've been saved. You got a spiritual truth and a natural truth. The born again spiritual, you don't sin. But the natural carnal of you does. And the rate at which it does in your flesh and your thinking will be reduced as you transform and you renew your mind to the Word of God. You'll begin to have less and less worldly dominated thoughts. You'll have less and less worldly dominated actions. That means your natural truth sinning level will reduce. But God's already paid the price for that by sending Jesus. But spiritually, the spiritual you doesn't sin. See, when the scriptures say, he that say he has no sin is a lie and the truth is not in him, that's a natural truth. That's a truth to say, in your body, you will sin. You sin, and the truth is not in you, because you have. God will judge it in your thought life. But the new born again you has no sin. He doesn't sin. All right, wait a minute. Hold it, Pastor. I can feel you thinking. Saints, you can't be saved with sin. All right? God made you perfect. What he meant? Yes, the new you is not a sinner. The new you is perfect before God. You couldn't, God did not, he didn't lower his standard for you to be saved. He made it possible for you to be new with no sin. When the scriptures say all things are passed away, all things have become new. You are new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The spiritual you doesn't sin. You're not motivated to sin by your spirit man. And as you feed your spirit man the Word of God, he grows and he always and constantly opposes your fleshly carnal ideas. And so you're bringing the two into unison, to unity together, to where your thinking, your carnal mind is renewed to the Word of God. And it's transformed to think like the Word, which is spiritual. See, it's two of y'all.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
All right, so what does that point mean? That means, as I wrap this up, that means that most people don't know the difference between the two. That's why people get confused when you say you saved and they saw you cuss your cousin out. Simply, no, they ain't really saved yet. They'll figure you go to church, but you ain't saved yet. Because there'll be people who are close to you, they've made note of your carnality or your carnal level, and they don't believe the spiritual testimony you have. Lord have mercy. So they don't know of the integrity of the Word of God. And see, sometimes there are many believers, you thrown off about it. Well, yeah, you know, I thought I was saved too. They're like, I cussed out cousin so-and-so. Where'd that come from? That was still in you. You ain't transformed. What you think about people, how you express it, has not been, you haven't put that under the blood, under the Word of God, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because you cut somebody out, you know what you're saying, you know what you're doing, and you knew you intended to do it. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. That's enough. Now you're a liar too. You did mean to do it. You did it and you were trained to do it. The devil trained you to cuss people out, and so you just pulled on your old knowledge of doing it and cussed them out. You actually picked the words you were going to use in advance. I don't know, just come over me. Just come. That's another lie you're telling. It didn't just come over you, it didn't just take over you. You intended to do it. Now you need to repent. You done told three lies in a row. Now you need to repent. You're trying to justify your sin because you're confused at the difference between the spiritual you and the natural you. That wasn't the spirit. That didn't come from God. You didn't learn that from God. But you in Jesus and He in you. So, hallelujah. You know what? I feel now this is helping some people. You got to know the difference because the scripture will confront you with this. It'll keep confronting this with you. See, if you don't know how to walk in love, you'll be mean to people. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you just haven't renewed your mind to how you think about people. That scripture says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. That's a spiritual truth. That didn't say all of a sudden you good now, you saved and you done got better, so you love people. It don't work like that. You don't get better and love other people. You get born again and you renew your mind from being the bitter, hateful, jealous, envious person you've been all along. It takes the power, Lord have mercy, it takes the power of God to transform your life because that the devil trained you to be that way. That's how that goes out of your life, and you're able to glorify God more. Can you say amen? Otherwise, you brought all that old foolishness in the body with you. You're good at covering it up and doctoring it up. But no, God said, let be ye transformed. Get rid of it. Replace it with the Word of God, with that love of God. Be ye transformed. So here, when I said the integrity of the Word of God, And the thing about fact-checking, you shouldn't have to be fact-checking nobody at high levels of responsibility. Somebody ought to know you're not a liar before you go to certain positions. That's supposed to get checked in you early. But you can get by and get away with it, so you got enough power, you can get people to believe your lies. You don't have to bother with being transformed. You can just lie and call it fake news. And so when somebody who's smart enough to say, well, wait a minute, that's a lie. Okay, let's prove it. We'll fact check it. We fact checked it, that's a lie. You done told us 10 lies in the last, which means you are a liar. Now God is dealing with this right here, that you lie intentionally, on purpose and consistently. And you're going to affect a lot of people because they're not going to know what to believe. They don't know. And this isn't about natural truth and spiritual truth. This is the difference between truth and a lie, period. This all natural. It's all natural. That's how they can fact check it. They're not fact checking you from the scripture. What you hear on TV, in fact, this is not scriptural fact checking. Oh, let me see what the Bible verse says about that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about checking, you said you was where on a certain date? Nope. Our information show you were somewhere else. Is you doing natural lying. You ain't even disguising it. So, but with believers, the devil is a liar. The devil is spiritual. He will lie to you about the Word of God. He'll go to the scripture and lie to you. People in slavery were people during the slave era in America were going to church on a regular basis, and they had preachers preaching to them justifying why they ought to have slaves. Using the Bible, adjusting it to justify being a slave owner. And the information to the slave, staying a good slave. That was what that's manipulating the scripture. I better go on. And so here, the integrity, somebody say integrity. The integrity of the word of God. That's why you hold fast. You say, now you know, the situation looked like this right here, but the word say this, hold to the word. Hold fast to the word. The word is full of power. Now, here again, I'm going on, but over in Hebrews 4:12, it says, word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? 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 When it says it's powerful, when you hold to the word of God, it's pure truth. It has the power because it's spiritual. Spiritual things have authority over natural things. Are you with me? It has the power to affect what it's saying. It can affect the situation, the truth, the power of the word of God. It has the power to affect the situation, the circumstance. Calling those things to be not as though they were, call them the way God says they are instead of how they look. How they look has to change. Anything in the natural, temporal, it can change. I feel this way. Your feelings can and will change. You say what the word? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. You got to do the same thing with love. And what it is this process of weaponizing the word of God. If you're going to weaponize the word of God, you got to make sure it's the real word of God. God's not giving you no rubber bullets. He's giving you the real stuff, power over all the power of the enemy. So one of the challenges that people have is a lack of confidence in the integrity of the word of God. So when you go to areas and you look at it and say, well, does this really mean what it says? We were covering on healing this morning, and was over in Mark 11, 22, 23 with Dr. Hagin, who he had incurable blood disease. When he found Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, all that, he told the preacher, if this is true, I can live. Now, he wasn't a pastor. He said, if this word right here is true, which is in red writing in your Bible, he said, I can live then. That means God doesn't want me dying at 17 years of age. If this is true, I can live because I believe this. Now, the scripture says, believe in your heart and shall not doubt. Now, you can have the word of God when this scripture says, according to Mark 11, 22, it says, believe in thine heart, whosoever shall say in thy mouth, be thou removed and be thou cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Say that with, and shall not doubt in his heart. Okay, now, there's a core of your being in your heart. Believe with the heart. Believing with the heart. See, there's a process the word goes through. When you get the word of God, you have your questions. I don't know about that. Keep meditating on it. You just meditate on that word of God. It'll come alive on the inside. You say, believe with the heart. Now, you are believing the heart. When you got saved, you are believing with the heart that Jesus was God's son. He died and was raised from the dead on the third day. And then what happened over a period of time, the messages you heard, the Bible you read, it reinforced those scriptures. Am I right? It reinforced it that he came out the grave. God revealed so many things related to the resurrection of Jesus, so many details. What it did, it solidified in your heart that this is God's son and God raised him from the dead. Amen. So when you say you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you have a combination of scriptures now you didn't have when you first got saved. See, so it's rooted in your heart. In other words, you have root in your heart that you saved, that you're born again. Even though you fall, even though you backslid, you know you're born again. See, your flesh didn't get saved. You got born again. It's a spiritual birth. back there again. This is where you have the difference with people who are watching so-called saved people, who are watching saved people and don't believe they saved because they are trying to judge a spiritual accomplishment with natural evidence. They're trying to measure the natural evidence. So you must become an expert in understanding natural truth from spiritual truth. You say, well, you know I'm sick. That's a natural truth. Why you know you're sick? Well, they took my temperature and the doctor said something. That's a natural truth. What you mean? Because God says you heal. Wait a minute. See, that's what I'm telling you now. That's what I'm telling you now about church. See how church be talking. It's true, though. It's true. You listen to saved people talk, or preachers preach, it's a contradiction. It's like you're saying a different thing. No, we slow down, and it's hard to preach this to people. You break it down, amen, to know a spiritual truth from a natural truth. You are born again spiritually. You're not born again naturally. You are born again spiritually, and you are naturally transformed to match the identity of your spiritual identity. And that's a work that takes time based on how diligent you are to the Word of God. How diligent you are to the Word of God. The Word of God said, let no man say when he's tempted of God. If every man is tempted, when he's tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust. He said, that's in your flesh. He said, you didn't get that from me. If you're a liar and you tempted to lie, you brought that with you. You didn't get that from me. Well, why is it happening? Because it's two of you, that flesh you that you're not dealing with. You got to give it the word. It has the power to override. Your flesh didn't get saved. You got saved. Well, how do saved people to do better? Because they get in the word and the word gets dominion. The scripture says, reckon your mortal bodies to be dead. You can't insult a dead man. You can't offend a dead man. A dead man not going to cuss you out. He can't talk. So where's that coming from? Your flesh still alive. You've been feeding it. But you're born again and God loves you. And so as you grow in the word of God, you feed your spirit man. And I'm going to close with this. One of the things is two areas. When you're sick and about to die, now this is from the healing thing I'm talking about. When you're sick and about to die, which I'm not confessing that on anybody, but you ain't doing much sinning. Your sin range has been greatly reduced because you're about to die. You're sick, you're about to die. Certain places you don't go. Certain stuff you stop eating, not because you're on a better diet. You can't eat it. So what happened, as that flesh moves, and you move to a level of desperation, you're really ready to hear the word on healing now. Why? You have no more options. You're about to die. So it's sad that that would be so, but man, like in America, and I shared this earlier, is busy. He got a lot of options. The doctor patch you up, give you something, the pain go away. You ain't even reading the Bible. You're not even listening to healing tapes because you're distracted. So the word tells us to seek the word diligently. When Dr. Hagin was about to die, they told him he was going to die before he got 20. He got real serious about reading the Bible and going to church. And he went to a church where they believed in baptism with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke in tongues, but he didn't like tongues. You about to die, and you got the nerve to judge something in the Bible. But his prejudice about tongues was still there. He said, I just went because they believed in healing, and I needed healing. That's in his testimony. But he got healed. They was in the Word. When you preach healing, you'll get in the Word of God. And you got healing. So here, you got to understand, but what happened, his body was dying. He was born again, but his body was dying. And the doctor told him, nobody can do anything for you. You're going to die. So he had the level of desperation to where he was diligent. You had to have a level of desperation where you understand the difference between the spiritual and you're going to fact check stuff. That's why I thought you're a church where you open the Bible, look at the Bible, find it in the Bible, let the Berean say, it sounds good, but is it in the Word of God? Just come somebody and cite it and they prophesy, it don't mean that's true. It doesn't mean that's going to happen. It don't mean God told them. Because they said God told them, that don't mean God told them. I better go on. And I mean, it's flooding the airwaves. I'm like, well, you know, praise God. I ain't even mad at them. Because I know people minister, they miss God and they prophesy, and you know, that's what they felt they was right or whatever the case might be. And if they right, they manifest. Amen. Remember, let's close with this. Remember when he died on the cross? I mean, I know you weren't there, but when Jesus died, you remember. Yeah, when was that? The year before last? No. Here's my point. When Jesus died on the cross, he like had surely died on the cross. This was such an illusion to the people. I guess that word is illusion. But how can this guy be dead? Think about it. Put yourself in this position. How can this man be dead? All the stuff he did, open blind eyes, raise the dead, miracle workers. So they felt, truly, this is the man of God. This is who God says. This is him. It was him, right? But what was happening was such a contradiction to what they were believing. Until they had not grasped how God was going about doing what he was doing, because what he was doing was so much bigger than what they could see. The scripture revealed it, but they weren't thinking far enough to reveal that it could be brought about by killing Jesus. This doesn't make any sense. So the disciples, this is like a whole Easter message. Isn't it? Come on, Pastor, we got to go. The whole Easter message, when all of them like, man, we just knew so-and-so was going to be reelected. I mean, be alive. No. God had planned, and Jesus told them he's going to die and be raised from the dead. So they were all discouraged. So I look at times today, I say, things might not be done based on the way you think they are. Now, I think we're at the end of the church age and the tribulation coming soon. But I don't have no prophecy for you on it. I just know what the Bible says. That the Antichrist is going to rule and he's going to be, you won't know who he is for 3.5 years into his rule. And so some of the things I've seen in government led me to live. Well, maybe we close. This might be it, but I don't know. God will show us. All right, so my job to walk in love, walk in the Word, stay in the Word. So they were like, how could this be the Savior and he dead? And then when he was raised from the dead, he said, for they knew not the scripture that said that Jesus would be raised from the dead on the third day. But still, even though he was raised from the dead, how you going to bring us in the power? How you going to give us what we after? Y'all need to hear me now. A lot of what we believe, we all in here in America, we all in this together. We in America. I ain't leaving America unless I'm going to mission trip or something. But my point is, whoever the president is, whoever elected, it's like we acting like that's going to bring us, like somehow that's how God going to do what he going to do. He done told us what going to come to pass, what's come out of his mouth. And whoever ruling or whatever, he already uncovered us. We covered. This is going to be a rapture. He covered us. But when you believe, hey, you know, our government's got to change and we get rid of this and get rid of that, then everything. No, people are still going to be sinners. They're going to be still doing stuff. They're going to still need to be saved. And it's still going to be stuff. They're going to still be lying, cheating, and stealing. It's still going to be corruption. It's going to happen. It's going to start. It's going to escalate. No matter who the president and throughout the world, it's still going to be going on. And there's going to be wars. Man is moving towards self-destruction. So my point is, we got to be getting souls in the meantime. Yes, stay focused on what our mission is, that this is not our home. But anyway. But my point is this. It's like, man, just don't look like this could be it. Don't look like it be this guy. Can Joe do it? No, Joe ain't Jesus. Joe can't do it. It's already been done. Jesus did it. What had to be done was done by Jesus. Joe not going to do it. I don't think Joe trying to do it. Donald can't do it. Jesus already done it. Now, they may play their role along with the other world leaders or whatever. But saints, we're operating on another whole level. The people, the Jews, close with this, Pastor. The Jews, when Jesus left, they were upset. They were looking for Jesus to bring them into power in a natural government. They were looking for him to set up a natural ruling government to put them back in power, and that they won't be oppressed, where they don't have to sit in the back of the bus and they could drink in any water fountain they want. And they thought Jesus was going to bring all that and make everybody else love them. I threw some stuff in there. That is not what he came for. He says, not of this world. Lord, he says, set your heart on things eternal. You know, America will be a better place. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's going to be something else. It's going to be some more stuff. You're going to still need your faith. You're going to still need your love. You're going to still need your peace that you can only get from God. You're going to still need divine guidance from God. Amen. God, there's nowhere scripturally where God has revealed that he sent some person to fix it. They say one person say they're going to fix it, but that person's going to be a liar and going to be turned out to be the Antichrist. Who is that? I don't know who it is. I don't have no prophecy for you on that. When I'm talking about, I know what we're supposed to be doing now is winning souls and praying for people healing and walking upright before God and walking in the victory that God has given us. Amen. And we'll be a spectator because God has given us the movie. He's laid it out in his word. He's shown us the end from the beginning. And praying for everybody. We fact check them and then pray for them. So anyway, the integrity of the Word of God. You read the Word of God, it's like, man, God, how can this be? Like Mary said, nevertheless, be it unto me according to thy word. In that the angel told her, you're going to have a baby. She says, I can't have no baby. I ain't never been with a man. Nevertheless, be it unto me according to thy word. Say that with me. Say, nevertheless, be it unto me according to thy word. Give the Lord a shout of praise. I gotta stop. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening. And join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.